James talks about pure religion. Pure religion. People can give you every reason in the world not to go to church. I've been a preacher over half my life, and I've known a lot of preachers. And I can tell you, I could easily write a book on all just on the excuses and reasons that people don't go to church. Now, I know that sometimes things happen, people get sick and that kind of stuff, or people get hurt, or people have to work. Just move this flower right here, brother. Just lean it up here on the pulpit. Amen. Don't you look at this while I'm preaching. Amen. Took two of them big old boys to go get one tire. Amen. That'll work right there. Amen. Amen. Let's see. Let's turn the pretty side out. Don't you think about this while I'm preaching this morning. Look at that. What I want to preach about this morning is spare tire religion. Amen. Spare tire religion. Amen. Some say the church don't have enough socials. Some say the church has too many socials. Some say the church is too modern. Some say the church is not up to date. Some say the deacons run the church. Some say the pastor runs the church. Some say the pastor's too loud. Some say he's too soft. Some say he don't spend enough time with the youth. Some say he spends too much time with the youth. Some say he preaches too long. Some say he gets in too much of a hurry. Some say he's a dictator. Some say he's too passive. The people I've always noticed down through the years that accuse the preacher of being a dictator is the ones that wants to run the church. And they get mad because the preacher just being the pastor. Amen. But everything you can say negative about the church, I can give you two things positive. Amen. The church has the right founder, the right foundation, the right fundamentals, the right family, and the right function. Amen. I will tell you, I'm glad to be part of a local Bible-believing Baptist church. Unashamedly. Amen. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse number 27. I'm going to use one verse and preach. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, people treat their spiritual life like it's this spare tire that you see up here this morning. I want you to look at that. Amen. You say, well, that's a cute looking little tire. It may be, but that ain't what you want to base your Christian life on. Amen. I'll give you a few things to think about this morning. Brother and sister, we're living a day and age now where Christian people, I mean, brother, they're so soft and cushy, and it's so fluffy, it's like marshmallows and it's like chocolate cake. I mean, brother, listen, you can turn the television on any Sunday morning and try to pick up preaching, and all I can say is good luck to you. Amen. Brother, I'll tell you what, people treat their religion, they treat their walk with God like it's a spare tire. I want to say to you, first of all, a spare tire is usually hid until you have a flat. Amen. There ain't nobody in here probably can tell me what your spare tire looks like, because that ain't something you look at every day. Yeah, most of you probably don't know how to get to it. Most people don't know where it's at. Amen. Amen, bro. That's right. What I'm trying to do is compare a spare tire mentality to the way people live, right? That's the way some people are, brother. You wouldn't even know they're Christian. Amen. Just to look at them, they keep it hid. And Jesus said, whosoever will be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of them. Listen, an athlete wants to talk about sports. An actor likes to talk about movies. Bankers talk about investments. A golfer talks about 18 holes. A man in love talks about his sweetheart. I'll tell you right now, saved people ought to want to talk about Jesus Christ and his redeeming blood on Calvary. Brother, we ought not treat him like a spare tire and just pull him out when we have a flat. Amen, brother. He ought to always be at the forefront of our life. And brother, we ought to promote him. We ought to promote the Lord Jesus Christ and his message and his word everywhere we go. Most people don't even know where their spare tire is located. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. This one man, one time in the 16th century, he sailed around with this guy named Sir Francis Drake his whole life. And he got back one day, and this guy said, you don't have much to show for all these years, do you? He said, no, not much. He said, I've been cold and hungry and desperately frightened. I've even been shipwrecked, but I've sailed with the greatest captain that ever lived. Amen. People might look at you and me, and they might say, well, you ain't got much to show for it. You ain't rich. You ain't got a new car. You ain't got a $1 million house. That may be true, but brother, I'll tell you what. I've spent over 30 years with the greatest. I mean, the greatest of the great. I'm talking about the heaviest of the heavyweights. I'm talking about the last. Lamb of God, but the greatest one that's ever lived. I want to tell you, brother, he's not as burnt high this morning.
Amen.
Amen. I was reading about people using their witness like it's a spare tire. And I got to reading some statistics, and they said they asked some people, they asked a bunch of people a survey. They said, what's your greatest fear about witnessing? I'm afraid I might do more harm than good. Somebody said, I don't know what to say. Some said, I may not be able to give snappy answers to tricky questions. Some said, I may sound bigoted. Somebody said, I may invade somebody's privacy. Somebody said, I may be afraid I might fail. Somebody said, I'm afraid I might be a hypocrite. But can I tell you something this morning? If I walked up to you and said, do you have grandkids? I guarantee you'd reach for your wallet and say, I sure do. Let me show you a picture. Let me tell you all about them. Brother, that's the way we ought to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, brother, listen, you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a Bible theologian. Brother, just talk about him and tell what he's done for you. Be a witness. Have a testimony. Don't wait till you have a flat to pull the spare out.
Amen.
They say that greatest hindrance to witnesses at 9% said they were too busy to remember. 28% felt the lack of real information. Now, 12% said their own lives were not speaking as they should. But by far, they said the largest group, 51%, had the biggest problem was a fear of how the other person might react. Well, listen, that's true, brother. There's a little bit of truth to that. Nobody likes walking up to a person getting laughed at. Nobody likes being made fun of. When we walk up and down those streets and knock on doors, y'all see people where they look at you when you walk across their yard. They look at you like, what in the name of God do they want? They're thinking, oh, God, some Jehovah's Witnesses. Oh, there comes some Mormons. Oh, Lord. That's why I take my wife with me when I go. They see a pretty woman, I think, well, he can't be too dangerous. I mean, you know what I'm saying. You take a couple of ugly old men walking around. That looks scary, brother. And you saw Kevin and Sam walking across the yard. Well, that'd scare anybody. I mean, brother, listen. That'd scare the dog, make you run up on the house even. But I'm trying to tell you, we ought not to have our religion or our witness hid until we have a flat tire. They said that. This is the most scary statistic I ran across. What would you say the percentage of Christians that never witness would be? Take a wild guess. Somebody, 98%. 98% of born-again, Bible-believing Christians never tell anybody else about Jesus. Let's go back to what I said a while ago. A man talks about what he loves. Hey, brother, you don't have any problem talking about what you love. If your kid plays baseball and he's an all-star athlete, it wouldn't take nothing to get you started talking about that. Hey, man, just like Miss Kelly's daughter, she's a swimmer. I mean, she's really good. I went and watched her before. It wouldn't be hard to get engaged in a conversation about that. No, that's what she loves, of course. Of course you love that. You love what your daughter does, what your son does. Why do we hide Jesus? Why do we put him in the trunk under a mat somewhere and never pull him out unless we have to? It ought to be at the very forefront of our lives. Brother, Jesus Christ ought to be the first thing we mention when we meet new people. The first thing about us they ought to know is he's a Christian.
Amen.
The spare tire is usually hid until you have a flat. Number two, the spare tire is usually the worst tire on the car. Did you know most people's religion is the worst thing in their life? I said this last week. You know what's so hard about getting people saved? Is finding a lost person. You'd be surprised how many saved people in Hazelhurst. They're everywhere. They don't none of them go to church. They don't none of them pay tithes, but they're all saved. It's very rare. How often does it happen? Once every couple of weeks, you'll meet somebody says, no, I'm not saved, and I don't know where I'd go when I die. But most people say, oh, yeah, I go to church. As a lady told me yesterday, I knocked on the door, and she opened the door, and I said, ma'am, where's Grace and Baptist Church? Before I get out of my house, she said, I've got a church. I start saying, you heifer, why don't you go to it and learn how to have some manners? Why don't you learn some manners? He said, I got a church. I thought, easy, sis. I don't want to fight. I'm going to tell you about Jesus. The spare is usually the worst tire on the car. You walk around your car, and all the tires have nice tread, and they look good, but you pop a trunk and start digging around there and find that spare. That's the worst tire on the car. Back in the old days, we didn't have these little donut tires. We had an old slick tire we got out of the junkyard, didn't we, Brother Jeff? And that's what we threw in the trunk. When you got new tires, you tried to find the best one on the car and throwed it in the trunk. And then when your money ran low and the tread wore out, you got that spare out and drove on in a while. Almost everything comes before God entertainment, recreation, making money, dating, everything else in the world. People's got their priorities wrong. Listen, brother, I'm telling you, the Spirit is usually the worst tire on the car. That's the way people's Christian life is. That's the way people's spiritual walk with God is. It's the worst thing in their life. Debbie calls me a redneck because I got pictures of my car, my truck, and my wallet. And ain't got no pictures of her. I said, everybody knows you. Some of these people I meet, you're with me. They see you, but they ain't seen my truck. She said, you might be a redneck if you got a picture of your truck and your wallet, not your car. But listen, this man took his dog on a cruise ship one time, and the prices ranged from $25,000 to $150,000. Somebody said, wouldn't it be cheaper just to leave your dog at home? He said, no. Oh, no. He said, the psychiatrist bills cost more than that. He needs so much therapy when I get back. I might just be cheaper just buy him a ticket and put him on the cruise line. People's priorities are all messed up. The spare is usually the worst tire on the car. Priorities are bad. Heard about this woman. I was reading one time about this woman named Ma Ferguson out in Texas, and she went into politics. And she'd been on this route, you know, going around the, what they call it, on the stump, you know, or whatever, where they go around and do these campaigns and meet people. She'd come back, and her husband said, how's it going? She's kind of an old woman. She said, it's going great. She said, it looks like I'm going to sweep Texas. He said, bless God, how about starting this living room? That's the way people's walk with the Lord is, brother. You got everything else in the world in line except your walk with God. Your spiritual life is suffering. Amen. Did you know most people's got good insurance? They got life insurance. They got extra life. Somebody must be mad at me. They sent a life insurance person call me the other day. Said, you've won a free gift, and told me the person's name, and they've been here to this church. I said, praise the Lord, I've won a free gift. And said, he wants us to come by, and I'm making appointments for next week. And I thought, uh-oh, this is going to cost money. Why didn't you just say, I've got your free gift. Won't you come down and get it? Amen. It was just a sales pitch, what I'm saying. But they've got life insurance. They got health insurance. They got those Y2K things? You in retirement. I know what that Y2K. You know what I'm talking about. 401K. Yeah, you had a K in it. They got all that stuff, but listen, it's just like the choir said a while ago, I know where I'm going when I die. Hey, brother, you might have all the money in the world and have a good setup and have all kinds of security, but what about when you check out? What's going to happen? Amen. Amen. The spare is usually the worst tire on the car. You know, when people go buy a new car, they don't usually open the trunk and look and see what kind of spare they got. Which brings me to my next point. The spare is used only in emergencies. Some people, listen, I heard a woman say this one time. I was witnessing this lady, and she was telling me she was saved, and I was like, well, tell me how you got saved. I was trying to get her to give me proof that she is saved. I mean, if somebody's saved, they don't have no problem telling you about it. I don't get offended. Come up and ask me if I'm saved and how I got saved. I'll gladly tell you. It don't make me mad. And she said, well, I know I'm saved. I must be saved because that trial I went through, I couldn't have made it through if I wasn't saved. I thought, that ain't the right answer, sister. That's the wrong answer. You're not saved because you've been through a rough time and you pull through. There's people that's never been saved. There's atheists. There's devil worshipers made it through rough times. Everybody that lives and draws in the breath of life has trouble. You cannot base your Christian walk on the simple fact, I've had some hard times, I had an emergency, my grandma died, and I lost my job, and the only good thing come out of it is my wife left me and never came back, praise God. You can't base your Christian life on that. Listen, brother, people use their Christian walk or their spiritual life just like they do a spare tire and pull it out only in emergencies. I'll tell you this little story once about 10 years ago or 12 or maybe longer than that, 13, 14 years ago, I was pastoring this church in this little town. And there was a young couple in that town. There was a nice young couple in their 20s, about Travis's age. He's about 23, maybe 24. She was about his age and had a baby, about a year old. And the Lord really burdened my heart for them people, and I went to see them. And I don't really remember their name. His name was Scotty, and I don't remember her name. He was a nice boy, and I went to his shop, and he welded something for me. I had something done to a trailer or something. And it kind of opened the door when we got to talking. I went to their house, and I visited. I know Debbie and the kids remember this. I went to visit him several times. And the Lord just put a burden on my heart, Brother Sam, for that boy. And I'd go talk to him. I'd say, Scotty, won't y'all come to church? We got a good church out there. And his mother-in-law and father-in-law had come years ago and was active. But they had some little riff, you know, and they had something that got their feelings hurt, got their feathers ruffled. Mama got mad and blowed up and left, and Daddy left with her. instead of setting his foot down. That's what happened. And so there's kind of hinging everything on that. Well, we had some bad people there. I said, forget all that stuff. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. I said, Scotty, you need to get saved. Son. Are you saved? You ever been saved? Well, no, not really, preacher. He was a good old boy, just as good as he could be. Nice boy. Had him a nice home, nice business. Looked like they was going to do good in life. And I witnessed to that boy, and I just had a burden for him. And I prayed for him, and I'd go witness to him. One day I sat in my office, and the phone rung, and there's a lady just frantic. She said, preacher, come out to so-and-so address. She said, you know Scotty so-and-so? And I said, yeah, I do. She said, he's out there jumping off a truck, and the tractor cranked and ran over him, and he's dead. I went out there, and it was the awfulest scene you ever saw in your life. There's fire trucks. They were an ambulance people. And there laid that boy, 24 years old, pinned under one of them big old ditch witches and couldn't move. And there was his wife, that one-year-old baby, in her arms, sobbing and crying and falling apart. And there was her mom and dad. They was a basket case. Here's my point. Don't wait for an emergency to come up to get religious. Yeah. Amen? That's exactly why we always taught our kids, pray to God. Don't do these memorized prayers. Don't just say, now lay me down to sleep. Pray. Get to know Him. Get to where you're used to talking to Him. Then when you do get in a wreck or you get in trouble and you really need God, you're used to talking to Him. You're at Him's on a first name basis. What a tragedy that was that day to see that boy laying there dead and waiting for the coroner. And he come out there and walked around and looked at him and got down and checked him out and signed off on it. And they put his body in there. And I had to preach his funeral. And that boy's mother-in-law assured me that he was saved, and me knowing he wasn't. His wife sat there with her head, shaking her head and tears dripping off her face. She said, preacher, I don't know. I don't know if he was saved. He never said nothing about it. We talked about going to church, and once in a while we read our Bible, but I don't know if he ever got saved. And my mama came to him and said, yes, he was saved. If anybody was saved, he was. He was a good boy. I said, ma'am, I didn't ask you if he's a good boy. I was trying to be understanding and compassionate, but I got to preach this boy's funeral in 2 days. I want somebody to tell me that there was a time somewhere in his life that he'd got down on his knees and his face and cried out to a loving Savior and got born again so that I could give that family some hope, some comfort, something to give them people. Amen. But I had nothing. That's all they had. They just had a spare tire. All they had was a hope that they'd been to church a time or two and that somebody had seen him read his Bible once or twice. That's all they had. She said, preacher, I don't know. I hope one of these days when I'm dead and gone, I hope my kids will get up here and sing. So one thing I can tell you about my daddy, we know where he's at. Amen. Hey, they'll probably get up here and say, this is only the shell. The nut is gone. Amen. Hallelujah, brother. Ain't that the truth? But I'll tell you, I may not leave $10 million behind, but I want to leave a testimony. Thank God that my family knows that I was saved and I wasn't looking for some emergency or some spare tire to pull me out at the last minute. Amen. A spare tire is used only in emergencies. You don't normally take your spare out and just put it on your car and drive to town. You only use it in emergencies. Number four, let me say this. Number four, the spare is not good. This is a good point you need to get. The spare is not good for the long haul. Spare tire ain't designed for that. I got to do a little study on that, Brother Jeff. Brother Jeff probably knows a lot about this stuff. I got to looking at that, and they said these little donut tires, they're not like old-timey used tires or spare tires. These little tires are not designed to get out on the interstate. They say the life expectancy of that tire is 50 to 70 miles, and that's it. I know I read some reviews last night on the internet, and this one guy said, man, I put one of them donut tires on 2 years ago, and I've run 50,000 miles. You know what that proves? That proves, number one, that he's an idiot. Number two, it just proves nothing. It proves you can put a balloon on a car. And I've drove with knots on them before and just driving. But you know what's going to happen? Sooner or later, that knot's going to pop. I've drove cars before with the steel belts hitting the pavement. You could hear them. You'd hear the steel belts clicking. That's the way we used to do back in the 70s, get out drunk and drive around with slick tires like a bunch of idiots. I'm telling you, brother, you talk about stupid, brother. You can hear the steel belts hitting and laugh about it and roll another one, keep smoking and keep drinking. And then when the front end's out of alignment, you can't figure out why it don't steer right. That tire's just designed to get you down the road to get you to the tire store. That's all it's for. They say this, I read this. You may notice this one expert said, cornering, handling, and braking characteristics when you're driving on a spare. The donut spare has a smaller footprint than a conventional tire, which translates into diminished braking and handling. You know what that means, kids? When you're running around on a spare, you can't stop like you think you can. Better be careful messing with that little boy, that little girl. You ain't got good brakes running around on a spare. It won't stop like it's supposed to. It don't handle just exactly right. Amen to that, brother. I read that. I said, glory to God. That right there will preach. That has a spiritual application to it. You're riding around on a donut tire on a spare tire. It don't handle right. You might get used to it. Hey, you might have sin in your life, and you might get adjusted to it. And you might say, hey, I've been riding on this spare all this time. Nothing happened. You know what that means? That just means you're a fool running on borrowed time. You're just rolling the dice, and you're going to lose. You can pull a car into a car to an auto shop with tires like that. Every single time the mechanic will walk out and shake their head, won't they, Brother Jeff? And they'll say, you're crazy. They will not even change them. There's some tires, they won't even touch them. Nowadays, they won't put them on. They won't even turn your brake drums if they ain't got a certain amount of drum left to turn because of safety. And that's what I'm trying to do this morning. I'm trying to preach safety to you to try to help you. They said this, that with a donut spare in place, you'll find that when braking, the vehicle dips to that side where the donut was mounted. Ain't that interesting? Wherever you got the donut spare, that's where you're the weakest at. You'll find the car dipping and pulling to that side. You got a spare in your life. You got some sin in your life. That's where your weakness is going to be. That's where you're going to find the devil's going to hit you at. That's where you're going to find your weaknesses at. That's where you're running that donut tire. Also, the front wheel drive cars, it'll cause damage to the differential and the anti-lock brake system. And the car will get confused due to different wheel speeds and work incorrectly. So you think you can run around with sin in your life and I'll be all right, I'll be okay, but you won't. You might get by for a little while. I keep thinking about that story that preacher said. He's down in Mexico working on a house, and his little two-year-old kid was in the front room playing, and he kept hearing the door slam, the front door going pow, and the kid go ha, 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 pow, ha, 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 ha. Pow, ha, ha. He thought, what's that kid doing? And he went in there, and that kid was sitting at the front door, screen door, and as a rattlesnake coiled up, they used to say in West Virginia, and it was right there at the door, and that kid would push that door up, and that snake would strike at that baby, and he'd slam the door shut, and he'd miss and hit the door every time. And that guy just froze in shock. You know what? If that guy hadn't saved that baby, you know what would happen, don't you? Amen. That kid was getting away with it. Sooner or later, that snake was going to strike faster than that door could shut. And that baby's going to be a gun. That's why people are running around on that spare tire. You can get by a while. You might think you're okay. Everybody's all right. Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. Eve might have said, hey, we didn't die after a while. But one day, Adam come home and said, Eve, you got a gray hair, girl. You need some of that color all, whatever that stuff. She said, what's a gray hair? I don't know, but you got one. She said, well, I didn't want to say nothing, but half your hair's in the bathroom sink, big boy. You know what that meant? They was dying. Listen to this one. So I said, why do car makers put these donut tires on cars? They do it to cut cost and to cut down on space. Typically, the donut spare takes up less space and it's cheaper, which translates into a more profit for them. Why does the devil have you to put a spare on your car and run around on it? It's not hard to figure out. It's cost effective for him, but it's going to cost you. It's going to cost somebody. You know when they say we're cut the price on this car, $500? They're going to make it up somewhere else. They might give you prettier tires on the outside of the car, but underneath they're not going to coat it good, or they're going to put a different, cheaper kind of brake on it, or they're going to put cheaper tires on it, they're going to put cheaper oil in it. Listen, brother, listen, you cannot make a deal with the devil and come out. You can't run around on that spare tire and get away with it. It's just not made for the long haul. Some people think they can run around on those spare tires, and it's funny. But you only get enough religion to get them in the average church. People's got enough religion to get them into marriage or into respectable company or even into a nice cemetery, but never enough to get them into heaven. So you can't drive a spare tire in emergency because it's not good for the long haul. If you're going on a long trip, you pull up somewhere at a tire store and say, check the air in my tires. I'm going to Arizona, and they'd say, I ain't even putting air in that thing. Go somewhere else because you got a donut tire on there and you ain't making it to Arizona. You might say, I've made it to Mexico and back. You might have, but you won't keep doing it. Amen. You might be sitting there thinking, preacher, I've done all that stuff you preach again. It ain't hurt me nary a bit. Maybe it hadn't, but it will. Amen. It's just a matter of time. And I want to say this, last of all. Think about this. I said the spare tire is usually hid till you have a flat. And the spare is usually the worst tire on the car. And the spare is usually only in emergencies. And number four, the spare is not good for the long haul. You can't live on a spare tire religion. And number five, I want to talk just a minute about the flat spare. You ever jacked up a car and tried to put a spare on it? You're on the side of the road and you start jacking it back down and your spare is flat. You never had that happen? That's a real blessing. I've had it happen before. That's the way a lot of folks are going to be on Judgment Day. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the deeds done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Jesus said, many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And he said, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I got thinking about Judgment Day. I said, preacher, I go to church. So what's your point? What do you do for the Lord? I go to church too. You say, I work and pay my bills. So what? Squirrels do that. Possums do that. That ain't nothing special. We go to church because we like it. What do you do for the Lord? It's going to mean something on Judgment Day. Tell you what's going to happen. The Bible said that on Judgment Day, the judgment seat of Christ, all our works are going to be tried by fire. And he said all the wood, hay, and stubble is going to burn up. And he said the gold, silver, and precious stone will abide. What's your work built on? Just because you go to church? Listen, I ain't trying to pick on nobody. But this is what it's going to sound like on Judgment Day. Lord, didn't we prophesy in thy name? That's about it. That's about it. Wouldn't you hate to live your life for the Lord and get to heaven and sit at the judgment seat of Christ and say, Lord, I was saved for 30 years. Oh, God. And you hear that little psh. That's about it. You went to church, you saved, you went to church and you went out on visitation once or twice. That's like having a spare and getting an emergency and put it on, let the jack down, and there's nothing there. Amen. You better have some religion that's going to get you to heaven. I'm going to tell you what that is. Ronnie, come to the piano. You better have a religion that will get you real. I'm talking about something real. I'm not talking about just going to church. And people tell me that all the time. Well, I've been to church, preacher. I go to church, and I don't go to that church because they've had trouble. And all that's irrelevant because you're going to stand before God one of these days. Amen. What's your tire going to do? Is the air going to pop out of it? I ain't going to be standing around nowhere. You can't blame it on me or none of these people. It's just going to be you and God. It better be real. You say, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. The Bible said your righteousness and my righteousness is as filthy rags. If you think I'm a good person, I'm not. I'm just a human. All my good, everything good I've ever done, I've preached for over 30 years. That's filthy rags in his sight compared to his righteousness. You have to put on the righteousness of his son, Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can get to heaven. You got to have some religion that's real. You better have a religion that'll get you right. You better have something that's going to get you prepared. You better make sure when you get ready to put that spare on and tighten them lugs down, it's got air in it. Because you just went to all that trouble for nothing. Wouldn't you hate to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and realize maybe you got saved when you was a kid and you lived your whole Christian life sitting on a church pew, never did a thing. And there's a bunch of crowns sitting here. And Jesus is over here, and you're going to get to put crowns on his head, but you don't get none because you're so wrapped up in yourself. That's the biggest problem we have is ourselves. Jesus said you can't be my disciple unless you do what? Deny yourself. You need some religion that'll get you right and get you real and something that'll get you ready. I want to be able to. I sure would hope my Christian life's meant a little bit of something, wouldn't you? Amen. I don't want to be one of them people. I've heard people say, well, preacher, I don't really care if I have any rewards. I just want to get to heaven. It's kind of selfish, ain't it? You mean you're that selfish? Why don't you have that mentality here? Well, I don't want a house or a car. I'm just happy living under a bridge, eating scraps. You ain't going to be no different in heaven than you are here. When we all line up, we got them crowns we're singing about when I meet my Savior, first of all, everybody meets him, they're going to hand him a crown, and then it comes your turn, and you're standing there like this. How you think that's going to feel? It's going to sound like the air I just let out of that tire. You're going to stand there like you say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. And he might look at you and say, why didn't you give me something? And you'll see them scars in his hands. What about that? I'll tell you what. Candace, you and Travis come up here. Y'all sing that song, His Life for Mine. Let's just sing that. Will you do that for me? Let's all stand this morning. Think about what he's done for you and how little, like Miss Alma always says, how little. I've been in the ministry over 30 years, but I ain't done much for him. I ain't done much for him. Everything we do, almost everything we do, spend our lives doing, we spend for him, for us, not him. Every head bowed just for a minute, and we're going to close, but we're going to pray first.